Senate, come to order.
We don't have a quorum right now.
Messages from the House.
18. February the 5th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message number 269, third reading. Motion to reconsider passed. Mr. President, after a favorable motion to reconsider the third reading vote on the bill listed below, the bill passed the House in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 230, School Safety and Security. Ayes 38, noes 22. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 5th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 187, Campaign Finance, ayes 40, noes 20. House Bill number 72, Statewide Education Accountability, Phase 2, Substitute 1, ayes 42, noes 18. And House Bill number 126, Agriculture Operations, ayes 33, noes 27, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 5th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 206, Exemption, Water Utilities, ayes 60. House Bill number 248, State Building Commission Staffing, ayes 60. House Bill number 249, Budget Reduction Implementation, ayes 48, noes 10. Conflict 2. House Bill number 250, Public Employees Retirement Plan, ayes 50, noes 10. And House Bill number 255, Year-Round School Calendar Incentive, ayes 33, noes 27. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 255, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 255, Year-Round School Calendar Incentive, sponsored by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to school finance. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 33, noes 27.
House Bill 255 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 250, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 250, Public Employee Retirement Plans, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public employees. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 50, noes 10.
House Bill 250 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 249, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 249, Budget Reduction Implementation, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. An act relating to administration of government. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 48, noes 10. Conflict 2.
House Bill 249 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 248, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 248, State Building Commission Staffing, sponsored by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to administration of government. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 248 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 77, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 77, Wyoming Lottery. Sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to lotteries. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 31, noes 28, excused 1.
House Bill 77 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 206, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 206, Exemption, Water Utilities, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to public utilities. Pass the House, ayes on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 206 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole to consider Senate File 1.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Senator Case.
Thank you, sir.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first section for our consideration is Section 167, UW Medical Education. What is your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 167, UW Medical Education.
Senator Meyer, you might point your microphone kind of up towards you.
Okay, let's get her over here.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 167, UW Medical Education. Mr. Chairman, the JEC adopted the governor's rec to reduce the agency budget by $507,500 in general fund. This reduction consists of the elimination of the Psychiatric Mental Health Practitioners Loan Service Program. Mr. Chairman, the reason we eliminated that program because there, frankly, there was no takers. Nobody in the program, nobody coming into the program, so we let that one go. As a point of information, UW offered up some reductions in the dental contracts, which were there was that program was fully utilized, and also some reductions in the family practice medical centers and closing some facilities here in Laramie County. And the governor saw fit not to adopt those suggestions, and the JAC concurred, and I'd stand for any questions.
Questions on Section 167. Discussion. Senator Anderson?
How many slots do we have, and how many slots do we have filled in the WAMI? That's okay. You can get to me later. That's fine. All right. Talk to you.
Okay.
That's quite all right. Let's move on.
And that was Senator Anderson, District 2. Any other discussion on Section 167? Any other discussion? Looks like we'll get that for you later. Seeing no discussion, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of Section 167, UW Medical Education, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 167 is as passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 205. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 205, Education School Finance. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec to move one position and $61,000 for the ETS and statewide IT consolidation. That was the only action in here. All the other funds are special revenue from the school foundation, and none of those were reduced.
Okay. Questions on Section 205? Discussion. Seeing none, the question is on Senator Meyer's motion to adopt Section 205. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 205 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 211, Board of Equalization. Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 211, Board of Equalization.
Governor's recommendation to reduce the agency budget by $75,960 was approved by the committee, and a reduction of one person was approved. The position was vacant, and when needed, it will be backfilled with a contract staff member at a lower cost. $39,704 was moved from 100 to the 900 series to take care of the backfill for that contract staffing. Again, that was a GAC-adopted governor's recommendation. Finally, a transfer of $3,168 to ETS for the statewide IT consolidation. Again, that was a governor's recommendation and approved by the committee. Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions on Section 211, I call for the question.
Discussion. Discussion on 211. Seeing none. The question is on Senator Dockstader's motion to adopt Section 211. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 211 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 220, Environmental Quality Control. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 220, Environmental Quality Council. Mr. Chairman, what we did is we adopted the governor's rec to reduce the agency budget by $34,682 general fund dollars. This reduction consists of operating expenses and contract services. We also adopted the governor's rec to transfer 612 general fund dollars to the ETS as a result of the statewide IT consolidation. If there are no questions, I call for the question.
Discussion on Section 220. Discussion. Seeing none. The question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 220. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 220 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 270, Office of Administrative Hearings. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 270, Administrative Hearings, and really all we did there was move some of the resources around for the IT consolidation. And I move that section.
Discussion on Section 270. Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Hassard's motion to adopt Section 270. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Section 270 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 012, Board of Architects and Landscapers. Section 012, Board of Architects and Landscapers. Who will move that section? Senator Hastert, why don't you move that section? I got it right here.
Board of Architects and Landscapers. I move Section 012, and we just adopted the, here again, it was adopted the governor's recs on the IT consolidation, and I move Section 012.
Discussion on 012. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Section 012, Board of Architects and Landscapers, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 012 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 013, Wyoming Euthanasia Certification Board. Senator Hester.
Move Section 013, Wyoming Euthanasia Certification Board. Here we added 47,000 general fund and a footnote 2 for repayment of overspent budgeted amounts. And I don't have my note on that.
Discussion. Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, what happened here, there was a unique situation that came up with the Wyoming Euthanasia Certification, and they had, in fact, overspent their budget, and the purpose of this footnote is to replenish that. As you recall, another bill went through here earlier to put that into another board to, because of the cost of it, to try to consolidate, and there is no general fund money as to the swap that occurs. This is more of a technical revision to take care of a problem that's been going on for several years.
Okay. Any further discussion on Section 013? Any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? The question is on Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Section 013, Wyoming Euthanasia Certification Board. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Section 013 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section.
Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close Section 2.
Senator Bebout, I think you jumped the gun. Is that right?
There one.
Hold on, Senator Bebout. Is he in the right place? Senator Bebout, come here for a sec.
The bill shows it ending at section 251. The cheat sheet shows it here.
Yeah, I'm going by the bill.
Okay.
So the bill. So we do it now. Okay. So now Senator Bebout has moved that we adopt the complete section two as a whole. Discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting Section 2 as a whole signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Mr. Chairman.
Section 2 has been adopted. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 3.
All right, you've heard the motion. Continue. Do we go to subsections within Section 3? Who's going to pick up Section 3? The first section under Section 3 would be 018, Real Estate Commission. Help us out. Oh, go to CapCon. Okay. Yes, sir. Senator Bebout.
Following our budget bill, Section 006, I move Section 006, Administration of Information.
Perfect. Thank you, Senator Bebout. Senator Bebout moves Section 006, Administration and Information. We're going to Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, JAC added $4 million of foundation money to purchase the Snowy Range Academy building subject to review and approval of the State Building Commission, and added footnote number 5. You'll see footnote number 5 on page 96 of your budget bill. Essentially what that footnote says is that that appropriation should only be expended for the acquisition and renovation of the existing Snowy Range Academy Charter School facility in Laramie in accordance with 2012 Wyoming Session Laws, Chapter 26, Section 2. It also says that the A&I and Division of Construction Management shall negotiate all terms of the purchase. And then after review and approval of the purchase, the State Building Commission upon acquisition shall transfer that property over to Albany County School District 1, at which time the school district will be responsible for maintenance and operations. Mr. Chairman, the JAC also adopted the governor's rec at $2.7 million for utility construction at Camp Guernsey. And the basis for this request is to connect existing utilities at Camp Guernsey to a federally funded regional training institute project for the construction and subsequent operation of fiscal year 2015 Department of Defense approved future years defense plan, the FYDP. And that's for a federally funded regional training institute. And that project has already been approved with federal dollars for $31 million. Also in this undertaking is the demolition of existing facilities and the relocation of a historic building within the construction project. We also adopted the JAC's, adopted the governor's recommendation of $840,000, federal funds for improvements at the Oregon Trail Veterans Cemetery. So, Mr. Chairman, that is, section 006, and, stand for questions or call for the question.
Discussion on sections 006. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question is on Senator Meyer's motion to adopt 006, Administration and Information. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. 006 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is section 057, Community College Commission. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move community section 057, Community College Commission. Mr. Chairman, these are just legislative approvals for private funds on specific buildings. One is the EW Ag Complex for $4.7 million. One is the EWC Douglas Campus for $9.6 million. One is in Northwest Community College Gillette Ag Complex for $4.7 million. One is in Northwest Community College Sheridan Ag Complex for $3.8 million. And the Northwest Community College Thorne Ryder Student Center for $11.7 million. So it's essentially just legislative approval on those private funds, and I'd stand for any questions.
Any discussion on Section 057? Any discussion? Ready for the question. On Senator Meyer's motion that Section 057, Community College Commission, pass Committee of the Whole. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 057 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 067, University of Wyoming. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 067, University of Wyoming. Mr. Chairman, the JAC adopted the governor's recommendation of $30 million general fund and added another $25 million in general fund, and making a total of $69.2 million in general fund for the renovation expansion of the engineering building. And I call your attention to this handout that was passed out yesterday. This tells you where we're at on the engineering building. In 2012, we put in 14-2 and 14-2, and those were part of that was in match dollars. The one bill that came through here modified some of the match requirements. I think that was 106. I think that's the name of the bill. And then 15.8 in 13. There you see 106. We added in some abandoned mine land funds. Some projects funded by that, where we did a switch in 3A, and another $3 million. And as it goes through, we had a total of $55 million in that section. But the long story short is that we now have $110 million for total construction funding, which should pretty much do that building. They originally talked about, I think, $105. There's been discussions between 105, 115. They've got 110 in there now. We also added $5 million for the renovation of the arena auditorium. The discussion on that was to just go ahead and finish off the arena auditorium and get that building pretty much taken care of. So we shouldn't have to go back in at a later date, hopefully, for quite a number of years into that facility. So, Mr. Chairman, with that explanation, I guess I'd stand for questions.
Discussion of Section 067, University of Wyoming. Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Meyer's motion to adopt Section 067, University of Wyoming. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 067 has been adopted. Now the question is on adopting Section 3 as a whole. Is that right, Senator Bebout?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I move we close Section 3.
Okay, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion for the Committee of the Whole to adopt Section 3 as a whole. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 3 has been adopted. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move Section 4.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to open Section 4 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 300. And members of the Senate, we've had some discussion about this earlier. This involves what we call the Strategic Investment and Projects Account. And so how we flow through the money that comes from the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund in terms of the interest income that we gain from that fund. And if you recall, we have a 5% spending policy. And that 5% spending policy is, if you look at a cheat sheet that we handed out earlier, is around $233 million. Of that amount, approximately $134 million is what we consider to be bonds and fixed income. The remaining of that amount is what we consider to be capital gains that we may see, we may not see, and if we do see them, it comes usually in on June 30th of the particular year that they're realized in. And what this does under Section E, Mr. Chairman, is if in fact we have capital gains that do come in that's under the SPA amount, but over the $134 million in terms of our fixed income, $80 million of that will be captured into what we call the SIPA account, which is Strategic Investment and Projects. And then $80 million is captured because if you recall when we had the governor's message to the legislature, he had in fact tried to utilize that unrealized but potential capital gains to fund some projects. We in the Joint Appropriations Committee made a policy decision that we're not going to spend money till we actually see it. However, recognizing the importance of those particular one-time expenditures, we set up this account to capture that money if it's there and to allow that to be available for funding when we come back to do the supplement or when we come back this fall to do the next biennial budget. And that does require an appropriation by the legislature. So, Mr. Chairman, what that in fact does, it captures the money on the capital gains if we receive them and sets them up in a special account that we shall as a legislature, if we wish to, when we do the next biennial budget, appropriate for some needs that the governor outlined. And, Mr. Chairman, those needs dealt with finishing the Gillette Madison landfills. He had some money set in there for some coal accounts and also cities, towns, and counties. I'll be glad to answer any questions on E.
Discussion on Section 300. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sort of following the diagram, and I think I understand what we're doing. But what it amounts to is that at this point, when we set up the SIPA account, we, in fact, are again diverting 80.8 million dollars that would normally flow into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. I'm missing something there. We're holding it up in that account before it gets there, before it's protected. So it's going to be available for appropriation. What am I missing there?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, what we're talking about is the unforecasted amount of the spending policy amount. So it's the 5% average of your corpus. So had we done nothing, then had the revenues arrived into the... So we're forecasting, say, about 2.5% income total off of our permanent mineral trust fund. It's anticipated we'll receive more capital gains, which will fill up that 5% SPA amount. That SPA amount is the amount that would land in the general fund. Were we to do nothing, it would normally sweep into the LISRA account, the rainy day account, the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. So this does not affect the amount that's over the SPA that goes into the spending policy reserve account, which is part of the overall spending. So what this will do, as I understand it, is that if we did nothing, we would ordinarily expect to see this $80 million go into the LSRA account and grow that. And so the growth in the LSRA will be a little bit less than we typically see in the interim.
Any further discussion? Senator Von Flatrum.
That really explains.
I'm trying to get your light on. There you go. Start again.
Okay, do I have to start watching the green light on YouTube?
I was pushing the button. Go ahead, Senator.
The explanation was great, Mr. Chairman, and it's exactly what it does. What we have to understand is we're building another coffee can. That's the only difference in how we're doing this. You could statutorily or even by policy matter let it fall into directly into the general fund. I mean, you could go that way. Instead of that sweep in the LSRA, you could reword it to have it just go into the general fund. We are creating another coffee can. Just be aware of that. It's a good idea, though. I mean, it gives us more flexibility.
Thank you, Senator. Anybody else? Discussion on this section? Anybody else? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, it is a policy decision, folks, and what your JAC committee has decided is that if you let it to flow into the LSRA account and you want to pull it out, then you're pulling it out for special projects. We have some unmet needs in these large projects, so we're capturing it before it goes into the rainy day account in order to pick up and begin to forward fund these large projects that we're committed to, including the Gillette Madison landfills, and those types of projects, and we'll do that so we don't have to reach into the LSRA later. So there's a rationale behind it. But as a result of this, we'll be meeting our current large amounts, but the It is true that these are one-time expenditures, but they will only be used for one-time expenditures. It'll make it easier to make next year's budget, but it's really a commitment that we're going to finish up these large projects that are one-time in nature. These are one-time revenues, and it sort of makes sense to do this if you believe those are some obligations that we've got to check off so we can begin to move forward. And in the end, what's happening is that it's a decision to slow down the growth of the LSRA in favor of hitting these large projects. When you come back next year, the next budget, we'll have the resources to do these, which we typically have not had.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Any further discussion? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, Section 330, it adds a little over $9 million, but if you go to the footnote...
You said Section 330. Did you mean Section 300? We're discussing Section 300.
Okay. Well, this is footnote 330.
No. All right. We're not quite there yet, Senator Hicks. Thank you. Right now, we're discussing Section 300. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? We have a motion on the table. It's Senator Bebout's motion that the Committee of the Whole adopt Section 300. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 301. Section 300 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 301. Senator Bebout.
We got a little too fast. I want to explain number subsection G on Section 300.
Go ahead.
And members of the Senate, this is another part of what we're trying to do to attempt to set up a LISRA account for the school foundation program. And what we've done is, you recall that the governor wanted to take the COLEs bonus money and put it in the LSRA account. And what we've done with this amendment G is we've taken that and we flow it into the school capital construction account to be available for throughout the entire school foundation program, and how that money shifts between CapCon and the foundation program. But what we've done, Mr. Chairman, is we've capped that at $450 million. And if you recall, if you look at your goldenrod, you'll see that $450 million when we go to the PLF holding account. So, Mr. Chairman, what we've done here is we've set $450 million as a LISRA account for the school foundation program, and any money over and above that will tip into the Common School Permanent Land Income Fund. It's a way of protecting the foundation program. We've had some discussion the last couple of days about the spending that's going on in the school foundation program and how we're actually spending more in than we really have relative to the property tax and everything that pays for the school foundation program. But this sets up that reserve account, that LSRA for the foundation program, to the tune of $450 million. What's over and above that, should it happen with the COLEs bonus money, the tip goes into there, it would tip into the permanent fund. Glad to answer any questions.
Any discussion about Section 300G? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, just to make, I think when we're talking about is putting not in the permanent land income account, but rather the permanent land trust account. So you're talking about there is an income account and then there's the trust account. The income account is in fact the income that comes off of it before it's expended. So as I understand it, we're talking about putting this in the permanent land fund, which will essentially grow the corpus.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It grows the corpus, which now sits at about $2.3 billion. Mr. Chairman, I think we've already moved that section.
We have moved and voted it. I mean, is there any further discussion on it? Anybody like to reconsider our last action? As it stands now, Section 300 has passed Committee of the Whole. We okay with that? Senator Bebout, Section 301?
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 301. Members of the Senate, what we did here is we added $250,000 general fund appropriation to the Public Library Endowment Challenge Land Fund created under Wyoming Statute 187201. Before we had $3 million, we added $250,000 to this. It was the governor's rec. This matching fund is successful. There are some areas out there that have utilized their full match, so this will allow them to continue to move forward and get more funds for this particular account and for the public libraries, and so I would stand for the question.
Discussion is on Section 301. Discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 301. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 301 has been adopted. Section 307, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 307. Members of the Senate, you may recall that during our last budget bill, there was a veto by the governor because we had used some incorrect data when we calculated the amount of money for our employees' group insurance. And if you look at this, you can see it's the amount of money we pay for single coverage up to an employee plus dependent child coverage, so on and so forth. So what we needed to do is put in here to correct for that veto, but also use current data that we received from the group health insurance. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question.
The discussion is on Section 307. Any discussion on 307? Any questions? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 307. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 307 is passed Committee of the Whole. Section 311, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 311. What this does, members of the Senate, expands a flex to the ETS that we gave to the Department of Health. And if you look at it, it says, notwithstanding any provision of this Act, non-federal fund appropriations for 100 series personnel services contained in this Act shall not be transferred to any other series or expanded for any other purpose than personnel service. And then we exclude the Department of Health and the Department of Enterprise Technology Services. This is to give them some flexibility. You know, this is a new agency we just put together, and it was a governor's rec, and we thought it made sense to give this department the flexibility.
Okay, the discussion is on Section 311. Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 311. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 311 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next section is Section 312. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 312. Mr. Chairman, this is the position freeze language that we had last year, and we modified it a bit by adding some extra language. On page 103, it says, a vacancy shall only be filled if the governor determines that the position is a critical necessity to the operations of state government. The governor shall report all vacant positions for which a replacement is sought in a monthly report to the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee. And, Mr. Chairman, if you remember back when we were going through school facilities, there were a couple of positions that the governor created, but we're still trying to get the information on the vacant positions that were terminated. So when we get that information, we'll pass that along to you. But essentially, Mr. Chairman, this just modifies the position freeze to put the emphasis on that it has to be a critical necessity. It just can't necessarily just be a convenience.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Meyer. The discussion is on Section 312. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I know the answer to this, but just for clarification, when we're talking about state agencies and this position freeze, are we talking about schools, colleges, university as well, or is the education system outside that conversation? Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Meyer, or Senator Landon. Senator Meyer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think that clarifies in line 13 where it says no legislative appropriation of general fund monies. So the schools are special funds, the retirement is special funds, all the boards and commissions are special revenues. So we're just talking about general fund agencies.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Any further discussion on Section 312? Any further discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Meyer's motion to adopt Section 312. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 312 was passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 317. Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, just for members of the Senate, if you're trying to follow the existing appropriations or the budget bill that we passed last budget session, you'll see that some of the sections are omitted. In the supplemental, that's because we made no changes to the Section 300 series comments. So what that means, of course, is that what we passed during the last budget session for that budget bill is the same. The only ones we're talking about here when we go through the Section 300 are those that we changed or amended or added. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will move Section 317.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, what this does, and members of the Senate, this deals with the way we fund major maintenance at our community colleges. And it's been all over the place for the last 8 or 10 years. And the dates, like before 2005, everything was paid for, except for components at the community colleges that dealt with dormitories, your unions and auxiliary buildings. So 100% of major maintenance was paid for all the buildings that were built, regardless of where the funds came from, if they were general funds or bonds or private donors, whatever. That's the procedure. Then for a period of time, we paid nothing. And so we had a situation where we came up into 2011, and there were three colleges that experienced some building, and, of course, they would receive nothing. And then last year, what we did is we had four colleges that built some buildings that should have qualified for that, but we paid them 100%. So we've been all over the board. And so what we tried to do with this amendment was to clarify a consistent position. And, Mr. Chairman, what this amendment says, that if you use general funds to pay for any of your building, that the state would allow that to be computed in your calculation for major maintenance. What that did was we broke our deal with the four buildings that were built last year. So, Mr. Chairman, I would hope that you would pass this, or we're not going to vote on it today, but I will tell you that we're bringing another amendment that really clarifies this once and for all, and that amendment will say that all community college buildings, whether it's general fund money, whether it's a bond or private, that we will fund it 100% for that major maintenance component, but it will not include dormitories, auxiliary buildings, or unions. And that's a clarification that we want to do, Mr. Chairman. This goes part way, but it really doesn't take care of the problem.
Okay. So the discussion is on Section 317. Senator Scott, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm no expert in this area, but are there plans to, particularly when they do one that's privately or locally funded, whether it's through a bond or donations, are there plans to develop some kind of an operation and maintenance fund so the state doesn't get hit too bad with those on the major maintenance?
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, current statutes have a 7%, and they call it a sinking fund, but it's an operation remains on general obligation bonds and some things that community colleges do locally. That's in our statutes. They're doing that. We had some discussion, Mr. Chairman, about an overall operation of the maintenance sinking fund, if you will, for 5% to ensure we had the money to maintain these buildings. This has nothing to do with that at this point in time.
Okay. Continued discussion on Section 317. Discussion.
Question.
Seeing none, are you ready? The question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 317. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 317 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section in the bill is Section 319. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 319. Members of the Senate, this is Section 300 we passed last year, implementing the 4% cuts to the second half of the biennium and requesting that they have an 8% reduction of the 2012 budget session general fund appropriation. What we did here, Mr. Chairman, is we put some language in that reduced that 8% to 6% for the Department of Health. You'll see that language there. And we also reduced it as far as the judiciary bench to zero. And we've had some discussion about bringing back to have the judiciary look at a 4% cut. And, Mr. Chairman, what I want to explain to the body here are some numbers just for you to put in your mind and think about. If you do an 8% cut that's required of this based on our 2012 general appropriation, that's about $200 million. Okay? 8% cut that we directed them to do for the biennium is $200 million. We all know that we've got about $60 million for the second half of the biennium in our budget bill. So that's $60 million. Now, we've heard the discussion about whether it's biannualized or not, and a part of that is not biannualized, about $20 million, which means that even though we take $60 million now, it has to double up again for the next session. So you add that all together, assuming we wanted an 8% cut, which is $200 million, we're about $100 million short. So just keep that in mind, members of the Senate, that if we really stick to our 8% cut, do what we've done now, factor in the biannualization. When we come back to work the 15-16 budget, we will be $100 million short of achieving 8%.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on Section 319. Any discussion? Question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 319. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 319 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section that's in the budget bill is Section 323. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 323. Members of the Senate, this deals with the city's, towns, and county distribution. The governor recommended $20 million be distributed to the cities, towns, and counties. We accepted his recommendation. This is the language that implements that, and this language is a direct distribution, and it will go out in the August payment that will be distributed to cities, towns, and counties. You may recall we did this in the last budget bill, so there will be $40 million going out plus $20 million more. So the cities, towns, and counties will be getting $60 million for this direct distribution in August. And, Mr. Chairman, if you look at little 2I, you'll see that there's some discussion there about increasing from 5,000 to 10,000. What this is, Mr. Chairman, and there was some discussion and amendment passed during the last budget session to double this for the small communities. That didn't get through the process. What we're doing here is doubling that for the small communities so they'll receive twice the amount that they have previously. Be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator. The discussion on Section 323. Discussion on Section 323. Senator Von Flatern.
For the good chair of appropriations, so in double I, you just doubled it for the under 35, and is the 10,000 what was standard prior to that for the over 35 population?
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, we doubled both. The under 35 gets twice as much, the over get it, but they all get it. And just understand, members of the Senate, that the bigger communities will see a little hit here because we're going to take care of the smaller communities to the extent that they get 10,000 to 20. Some of those communities, that's a lot of money. That's half their operating budget for an entire year, and we felt pretty strongly about this, and that's why we did it.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on Section 323. Further discussion. The question now is on the Vice President's motion to adopt Section 323. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 323 has passed committee of the whole. The next section in the bill is Section 329. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 329. And members of the Senate, once again, going back to the governor's recommendation to the legislature, you may recall that we had a rate holiday where we had lower than expected costs for our group insurance plan. And that amount of money was $16.9 million that was set there. So we swept that to the auditor's office. And this language says that that will remain there. And it says if you look through the language, you go down towards the bottom of it, the budget division shall report to the JAC no later than May 1st on the amounts transferred by agency. No funds deposited within the state auditor's office shall be used for any purpose without further action by the legislature. So, Mr. Chairman, what we're doing, there's $16.9 million that we have as far as the rate holiday. That's there and available. It's in the auditor's office. But nothing shall happen until we as a legislature deal with it.
Thank you, Senator. The discussion is on Section 329. Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 329. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 329 is passed committee of the whole. The next section in the bill is Section 330. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 330. This is the employee compensation program, and I'll go through each one of these before we vote on them, and I'll explain what we're doing and the purpose of them. The first one, Mr. Chairman, is subsection A, and you may recall that in the last budget session, we authorized additional employee compensation for state employees and the judicial branch. And there was a potential separation of power issue between the governor and the judicial branch, and so the governor vetoed this. So what happened is the rest of the money went to the state employees as we directed. We'd be in the legislature in the budget bill. This $600,000 never got to the judicial department where it was supposed to go. And what happens, Mr. Chairman, is Section A takes care of that. So we go back and essentially redo what we said we were going to do back last year for the judiciary, and that's a $600,000. Are there any questions on that, Mr. Chairman?
Questions on Section A. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman of Appropriations Committee, is this an actual salary, or is it a one-time bonus, and is it biennialized for the next budget?
Mr. Vice President. Mr. Chairman,
this is not one-time. This is ongoing. It's the same as the other compensation we did last year, and it's an ongoing expense.
Okay. Further discussion on little Section A. Further discussion? Continue, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, we had a lot of discussion about what to do with the state employees, the community college, the university. And if you recall, the governor had set aside, I believe, $11.5 million, of which $8.5 million was set aside to do increases, salary increases, and the rest was for merit pay. And what your Joint Appropriations Committee did, Mr. Chairman, is the first thing we did was eliminate the merit pay. And the discussion we had in the committee was, given the nature of government and just the sheer fact of how that would work, we didn't think that was an appropriate way to deal. We thought that the benefits really didn't make that much difference to the people and created some controversy with people that did not receive it. So we decided to eliminate that. Then what we did, Mr. Chairman, is we did a 1% one time. So this is not ongoing. This is a one-time 1% raise, sort of a bonus, if you will, to the state employees. And we were pretty creative, because what we did is we went over to the state auditor's office and we found a source of funds, about $8 million sitting there, part of it which was because of the group insurance. And we had some unrealized money that had come back from the year before because of the insurance didn't cost it as much, plus other monies that we had set aside previously for the appropriations. So we captured that amount of money and utilized that to be able to give this 1% bonus. And if you look at the language, Mr. Chairman, on 108 Part B, you can see that we capped it at up to $120,000. So if you make more than $120,000, you don't get the 1%. And we said that it would be distributed in two equal amounts, September and December. And if you go through the appropriations, you can see that we came up with $319,000 from the general fund money there. You look on line 24, but you'll also see the $5.8 million from reversions, and that's the amount of money I said we captured over in the state auditor's office. If you go over to the back, you can see the amounts of money and where they actually go, Mr. Chairman. On page 109, little I, $3.3 million goes to the executive branch, $145,000 to the judicial branch, $31,000 to the LSO, $900,000 to community colleges, and $1,800,000 to the University of Wyoming. And then the thing we did further, Mr. Chairman, if you go on to page 110, we also added in a 1% one-time bonus for the school foundation program and all the employees of the schools. And there was a lot of discussion about that. I'm sure you're all familiar with the step increases that a number of people in the foundation program receive in the education community, K through 12, and that's around $600 a year. So we may revisit this, but at this point in time, we set aside $8.1 million, one-time 1% to the employees of the K through 12 school districts. And then we go on down through E, little I, 1, 2, and 3, and that's just what we see with definitions, Mr. Chairman, for who is a qualifying employee. We want to be sure that they're doing a good job, that they really work for the state, and so on and so forth. That's just a qualification of it. And then, Mr. Chairman, if you go back to line F, that we said the important thing on number F on page 111 starts with line 5. No payment under this section shall be considered as cash remuneration for any purpose of any retirement plan administered by the Wyoming Retirement Board. We decided that it just didn't make sense since of the one-time bonus to get involved in the complications of how that would affect their Wyoming retirement. And, Mr. Chairman, number G is a reversion policy. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Okay. Discussion on Section 300, Section 330, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, a couple questions. One is on paragraph, subparagraph B on 108. The $120,000, over the last 2 years, we've seen some real changes in the administration of many of these agencies. I don't know what those directors make, but I certainly all of the ones that I'm familiar with have made a profound difference in the way those agencies are operated. And you can pick some out that you know of. We have one agency that we started up and really created. And I don't know if he makes the 120, but I suspect they probably do. Why, when we get good managers, why don't we reward them also? That's the first question. The second question is over on for the school employees. The 1%, is that after they get their, school employees get a raise, as I recall, it's the 1st of July for another year of service. Does this kick in then on July 2nd, or is it at the lower rate on June 30th because some of the, you know, they'll pick up $1,200 in some of those, if they step down also, or whatever, step wherever they step at on the stepping stone. Where do we give them the 1% at? After the step or before the step? Or?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll answer the easy one first. On the $120,000, that's a number that we discussed in the Appropriations Committee. You make a good point, and you know, there sure could be some further discussion about that. Might be a different number. That's the number we came up with. The thinking there and the discussion was that we want to take care of those at the lower level, and there was more money available in that sense rather than paying at the higher end. But pick a number. You know, that's something we could sure talk about later. As to the schools, whether we do it June 30th or July 1st, I'm not familiar with when they actually get that money, but they do get step increases, I understand it. Somebody else that could speak to it that may know more than I do about it, but they get a $600 step increase every year. And as to when they get that, this is an over and above that. That was the way this was drafted. As to the timing issues, I think that they would probably get both, is the way I would read it.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 108, line, back to that $120,000, lines 18, 19. The way I was reading it, and it's not what I heard, is they qualify up to $120,000 and everything over $120,000 they don't get the 1% on. But the way you said it, everybody over $120,000 doesn't get the percentage. And I think that's what I heard Senator from KC say also. So everybody gets up to $120,000, 1% up to $120,000, but beyond that you don't get the 1%.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Chairman, that's the way I read it as well. Okay. You get it up to 120 or which you don't.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other discussion on Section 330? Any other discussion? The question then is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 330. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Section 330 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 331. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 331, and this is where JAC adopted Governor's Letter Number 1 of the 422-171 General Fund, specifically for the Jamestown Rio Vista loan to the State Land and Investments. Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, I don't know if you remember last year there was a bill that came through to look at this situation where Rio Vista, some 30 years ago, borrowed money from then the Farm Loan Board, which became the State Investment Board, had upgrades to a water system and promises of a developer out on just west of their community. The developer kind of reneged due to several issues, but bottom line is they never followed through with their plans. Rio Vista had no way of paying the loan back. I do want to let you know that Rio Vista over the time had borrowed some $700,000 and had repaid more than the principal. They for some 30 years have not been able to pay this. Their only recourse is by statute is for the legislature to forgive that loan. It's been extensively investigated. The State Land Investment Board directors, the one that recommended this course to the governor, and the governor investigated. There's no infrastructure. They have an antiquated 30-year-old water system that has at any time ready for a catastrophic failure, have no means of rebuilding, have no way of getting any other type of loan until this has been satisfied. And so JAC adopted the governor's recommendations.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Discussion on Section 331. Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Section 331. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 331 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 332. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 332. Members of the Senate, the purpose of this section is to get more detailed information from our agencies, and if you read it starting on line 13, each agency's budget request and governor's recommendation for the 2015-16 fiscal biennium shall include and be developed and using the budget amount at the unit level. That's a critical part, Mr. Chairman, at the unit level of the salary and benefits of each. And we have what we call the IBAR system, and there's been some activities going on that I think is not what this legislature intended and how the money was appropriated. So we just want more information to really see at the unit level what's going on with these transfers within the agencies.
Okay, the discussion is on Section 332. Any discussion? Then the question is, on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 332, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 332 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 333. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 333. Members of the Senate, what we did here is, you can read it, it says that we want to get some kind of uniformity in expenditure accounting and budget submission from the courts, the district court systems.
Okay, discussion on Section 333. Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is, on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 333, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 333 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 334. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 334. Members of the Senate, having discussion with the good chairman of the Labor Committee, and we've all talked about, we had quite a discussion about Medicaid expansion and ACA and all these different things. And the purpose of this amendment is to set up through the Department of Health and the Insurance Commissioner, they will monitor all federal rulemaking related to the ACA. And the thought and logic behind that made a lot of sense because there's such a huge amount of money. And we all know the trouble the state of Wyoming and, quite frankly, all the states in our country are having in getting any good information on the ACA to start with, and then the rulemaking procedure and what's going on and how it's so disorganized. We felt it was very important that we set up a system to be able to monitor that and see the impact it might have on our state. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the purpose of Section 334.
Discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I really thank the Appropriations Committee for their attention in this area. This is one of the fundamental things we need to do this session to get ready for the problems that we're going to get with the implementation of that bill. We are expecting that the numbers of regulations will number in the thousands. And we are not right now, Mr. Chairman, doing an effective job. We're not set up to deal with those, keep an eye on them, at least let the feds know if they're going to cause problems for us. And we're going to ask the insurance department to deal with the ones in the insurance and the ones affecting private citizens, and the health department to deal with the ones that are dealing with the public programs, most of which are in the health department. And we are going to have to, we'll have a second reading amendment, we are going to have to provide a little resources here. It won't include any more general fund monies, but we're going to need to sharpen the focus a little, because the primary job of these people is going to be, first, to comment on regulations, and second, when something happens it really does cause us a problem, to assist us in developing remedies for those things. And we expect some trouble, Mr. Chairman, because you just can't do anything as big as that national health reform and not mess up something in the process, just in the nature of human institutions. So this is going to be of critical importance.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, one other thing that I would like to add, I'm sorry, let me add one other comment on that, and that is that there's also a separate appropriation for $100,000 to the insurance department. But that deals with the exchange issue, so it's really not the ACA as we know it here, so that's a different set of circumstances, and that money goes to a different need.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, on Section 334, the part dealing with the Insurance Commission, it seems like a very good idea to me. The part that deals with the Department of Health, as I recall, the governor's already got a policy analyst for the Affordable Care Act. Are we just duplicating what that lady's doing? And if so, is it really necessary?
Is Senator Scott, can you ask the question?
Mr. Chairman, the situation with the health department is that there was in the governor's office a particular individual who became extraordinarily knowledgeable on the public programs in this area, and the director of the Department of Health rated her, put her on staff, and we're going to utilize that excellent resource, but they tell us they need to have a position unfrozen so they have adequate because of the volume of workload here. So the Department of Health director was way ahead of us and conducted a successful raid on his boss's office, and it's working just fine.
Further discussion on Section 334. Further discussion? Then the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 334. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 334 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 335. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 335. Members of the Senate, you all know that we pay a part of the county prosecuting attorney's fees and salaries, and the trade-off there is it's a lot cheaper that way than rather than having district attorneys. And the purpose of Section 335, Mr. Chairman, is in case we run short of funds, that we allow a payment on a proportional basis. There's two Section 300 series that we have that also require statutory changes. This is one of them. The next one is the other. There is a bill coming that will put both of these into statute. However, the Appropriations Committee felt like we should at least do it for this biennial budget period in case those bills do not pass. So that's the purpose of this. We want to balance it out. And if we run short of funds, it's paid out on a proportional basis.
Thank you. Discussion on Section 335. Discussion. Seeing none, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 335. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 335 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 336. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 336, the same discussion that I just had on the previous Section 300 series. Only this case, it's the tax fund for the elderly and disabled. There again, if we run short of the revenues, we will pay proportionally, and there's a bill coming to deal with this as well. I will point out to the members of the Senate that this does not affect anything that we give in terms of the veterans.
Discussion on Section 336. Discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 336. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 336 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next section is Section 400. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move we close Section 3.
You heard the motion. The motion is to close Section 3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 3 is passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 400, and this just makes the act effective immediately.
Okay, the motion is on Section 400. Discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 400. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 400 is passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Bebout, the appropriate motion is on the entire budget.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. We have the motion for the entire budget. Unless there are any other questions, I call for the question.
Before that, Senator Cooper.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just had a general question for the chairman of appropriation. If we were to want to find the real number to find out between what the pluses and the minuses were on this budget, would if we looked on page, it's page 2 of the goldenrod there under appropriations, is that $76 million number there? Is that the general number? Is that where, you know, when you add all the pluses and take all the minuses, is that what you come up with for the actual reduction in the budget?
Mr. Chairman, if I understand the question, it's how much the actual reduction in government is.
Right.
And you're correct. If you look at the latest goldenrod dated the 5th of February, page 2, you'll see under appropriations, line 3, governor's recs, executive branch, budget reduction. You'll see what the governor did, and you'll see what your appropriations committee did. That number is $61,448,236.
Okay.
Further discussion on Senate File 1.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
If I might have the pleasure of the floor while we're talking about the goldenrod, and you all received a new goldenrod, just to give you an update on that one, the only difference Mr. Chairman, between that and the one we discussed yesterday is two things, and they deal with the school foundation program. And it's, you know, in this legislative process, things change in a hurry. When we did this, House Bill 230, which had a $2.3 million resource officers appropriation, was dead, so we took it off, but I guess there was a motion to reconsider. Now that's back on. I'm getting a nod, so now that $2.3 million is back on. But we also took off $4.5 million, which was House Bill 76, which set up $4.5 million from the foundation program, actually the school capital construction account, that would have paid for natural gas facilities to fuel the school foundation buses. So if you go down and look at the number we really want to pay attention to, Mr. Chairman, under the PLF holding account, you'll see under JAC RECs, you'll see $1.14 million. That's the amount of money left in the PLF holding account relative to how it's set up with the $450 million that we have in there for the LSRA for the school foundation program. Now we go back into the red again because we add the $2.3 million back in, so we're in the red $1 million approximately, and you'll see that tomorrow in the goldenrod.
Thank you, Senator. The discussion is on Senate File 1. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, a question. Then the Senate File 1 say there were an appropriation of approximately $77 million from the general fund. So what we're doing, we have cut roughly $138 million out of the budget that we currently had and then added $77 back in. So we have a net of 61. Is that where that net figure comes from?
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I would explain it another way in terms of where we stand relative to our budget. As we started out with $150 million that was on the table. $85 million was from the Craig estimate in October. Another $5 million from reversions put us at 90, plus the $60 million we cut put us at 150. If you look at page one, and you see that under the JAC RECs, you'll see $13 million available there. That's how much money is still on the table in terms of the appropriations based on our revenue stream for this supplemental budget. The number that you talk about is how it flows through the equations in different budgets and different agencies, but the net result is that there's $13 million available right now in terms of how much we have to spend for this supplemental budget bill, when you talk about the $150 million we had going in, what we've cut, and what we've appropriated.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, let me ask the previous question a slightly different way. If we were to not pass this budget, or put it this way, if we were to pass this bill, how much are we reducing the budget as it came to us before we took any action in this session?
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's two components to that, and I think you have to be sure and separate the two. The first one is the general fund appropriations that runs government, and that's an ongoing expense. Let's separate that from one-time money, and that is a $60 million in reduction. So if you don't pass this, then government does not reduce by that $60 million amount. The other thing that happens if you don't pass this budget bill is the other funds that we've appropriated for the Gillette Madison, cities, towns, and counties, landfills, the College of Engineering, and those other one-time funds, then that's not done. And so if you look at the Craig estimate, we will leave here with $90 million more dollars that will go to the BRA because that's our Craig estimate because of the reversions. We haven't reduced government, and we haven't taken care of those one-time needs that we think are important for the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Further discussion on Senate File 1. Further discussion. The question is on Senator Bebout's motion that the Committee of the Whole adopts Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 1 is passed Committee of the Whole. We're going to keep going. You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, no.
These were all. I didn't.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, with respect to the budget bill, Senate File 1, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. And this is a continuation of Section 2 from yesterday. Section 2, 080 adopted, 081 adopted, 085 adopted, 101 adopted, 103 adopted, and then Judicial Districts 120 through 140 were 142-4B were adopted. Section 151 adopted. Section 157 adopted. 160 adopted. 167 adopted. 205 adopted. 211 adopted. 222 adopted. 270 adopted. 220. Is it 220? I said, yeah. Okay, that's 220 adopted, Section 270 adopted, and then the entire Section 2 was adopted. We then went into Section 3, and it was adopted. Under Section 3, 006 adopted, 057 adopted, 067 adopted, and then Section 3 as a whole was adopted. We then went into Section 4, and under Section 4, Section 300 was adopted, Section 301 adopted, 307, 311 adopted, 312 adopted, 317 adopted, 319 adopted, 323 adopted, 329 adopted, 330 adopted, 331 adopted, 332 adopted, 333 adopted, 334 adopted, 335 adopted, and 336 adopted, and then the entire Section 3 was adopted, and went into Section 400, and it was adopted. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the Committee of the Whole report with respect to Senate File 1.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The entire report, the motion is carried and the entire report is adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, is that order of business?
Thank you, Mr. General
File.
President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole to consider files on general file, bills on general file.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Case.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first file for our consideration is House Bill 4. The reading clerk will please read the file. The bill. It's
House
a bill.
Bill 4, Brands, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to brands. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural State Public Lands Water Resources, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Geis?
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, I move that House Bill 4 do pass, and I'd like to have the Standing Committee Amendment read in.
House Bill 4, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2, to engross copy.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Standing Committee Amendment to Senate House Bill 4, and yield the floor to Senator Hicks to explain the bill.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, this is just to update some of the existing brand law. It's also got an additional provision in here for notification. I just want to walk you through the bill. If we start at the bottom of page 1 at 11-2107, records of where they're kept, if you flip over the page, basically you see new language included there that says that they would also keep on file their current contact information, which would include an address, but that wouldn't preclude the ability to have the email or multiple addresses, or in some cases email for a corporate entity. It just basically specifies that they're going to keep all the available current contact information. For the owner of a brand, if we move down to section 11.21.10, it's when the title vests. Basically, if you transfer a brand, the new language in there says the ownership of the brand is only vested once it's transferred in the brand in the livestock board office. If we move down to section 11.20.111, state brand book. Basically, this just brings the state land book up to speed, saying they can have it either in a printed version or also an electronic version. Just brings it up to modern standards. If we go to 11.20 on page 3, section 114, failure to record a brand, it strikes some old language that was a little bit inconsistent with that section as far as recording under abandoned brands. You can look at that. It just clarifies that section a little better. And then when we get to section 11.21.15, recordings and required notices of abandonment. And this is the real meat of this bill. Basically, every 10 years under Wyoming brand law, you have to re-record your brand. And what this does is if you switch over to page 4, you will see a new section under page 4. And this basically goes through and it adds this is a pretty hefty component because now under the notification section, when your brand expires, the livestock board has to notify you within 30 days of the time that brand's going to expire. I believe, no, it's 60 days. And then subsequent to that, there's an additional notification process now under here that 30 days after the expiration date, they would also then send you out certified mail to notify you that your brand has expired. After that, there is a provision in here also that if your brand's expired, you got the certified mail, and you want to re-record that brand back in your name, it provides for a mechanism to do that. The brand board, livestock board, could establish the rules for that, and there would be a fee of $150 to re-register your brand had it expired. If we move down to section 11.21.17, this deals with unrecorded brands, strike some of the old language out, and it just clarifies for the purposes of ownership. If you go down where it says, except where otherwise provided under WS, go to page 5, flip over. Well, let me back up. 11.21.17 is unrecorded brands and prohibitions and penalties. Basically, this clarifies what an unrecorded brand is for purpose of claiming ownership. And then it has a provision in WS 11.21.25. Those are just for seasonal brands. So that wouldn't fall under this particular category. Let's go over to page 5 now, where it deals with the drover stock. Again, this is just some clarifying language in there that says if you're a drover and you're a livestock commingle, you're responsible for bringing those back to their owner. Basically, this is if you had a band of sheep that commingled with somebody else, that's where the drover stock, where this provision would come into play. Under 11.21.25, this deals with seasonal brands, an application for an annual permit for an out-of-state brand. Sometimes we have livestock producers bring livestock in just for a 3 or 4 month period into the state of Wyoming. This would provide that you could also include the horses, asses, and mules under a seasonal brand. Go to page 6. This deals with in-state range movements. Let me describe what this is. Is this has some additional language under this statute 11.21.20 or 212. It basically says a permit can be denied, and if you flip over to page 7, this is the reasons that this is the new language in this section. It would include an animal health law that they could deny you a Brandon inspection. And basically, this is the inclusion of animal health is to deal with brucellosis. We also passed another piece of legislation out of here earlier in the session that include Bovis, which is a sheep disease, and also for trichomoniasis, that if you had one of those diseases, the livestock board could deny you an in-state range movement permit to preclude the spread of those diseases. Section 112401 deals with the brand inspection fees. This just brings that you can pay your fees into the modern world electronically. It provides a provision under that section to do that. If you go down to the next section, which is 112409, insurance certificates, it says you can still do the electronic transfer of all those fees, and it lists those. And 1116-2010 is predator fees, brand fees and types for annual permits or horses are covered on 112201 through 112230. Members of the Senate, that's the bill. I will go over the Standing Committee amendments now. Standing Committee amendment just provides some additional clarification. If you go to page 1, line 2, in the title, it just includes in there because there is a fees in the title. Adds the words authorizing fees for recording in the title. If you go to page 4, line 6, there's a correction here. Basically, delete the date and insert expiration date instead of the time declared delinquent. Those are two different dates for the purposes of notification process. It just clarifies that it's based on the expiration date of when your brand expired. And then if you go to line 8 or page 8, line 10, that just changes the effective date to immediately on all signatures. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 4 for favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. Discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Geist's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment to House Bill 4, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment's been adopted. Senator Hicks, we also have a Committee of the Whole amendment. Would the reading clerk please read that one in?
House Bill Number 4, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 4, line 12.
Discussion on Committee of the Whole amendment. Is that you, Senator Driscoll?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill simply, if you go to page 4, which deals with the abandoned...
You've got to move the amendment, Senator Driscoll.
I would move for adoption of the amendment. Thank you. If you go to page 4, lines 12 and 13, which is under the abandoned brands, under the existing bill, it's allowed the department or forced the department to allow to reissue. They actually had to reissue these abandoned brands if they were applied for. And what we've done is struck the language that says abandoned and will be allowed to other applicants, and we have allowed them to administratively decide how they want to reissue those brands. They've had a long-standing policy not reissuing certain brands because they conflict with other brands or block other brands. And this allows them to go back and administratively decide how they want to do it. One of the options we possibly talked about is they're short of money as they might want to auction part of those brands. Sometimes those abandoned brands will bring in excess of $10,000 or $15,000 on the open market, and they just give that value up. They just allow the first person to step up to the window to do it. So it allows them to creatively save the state some money and put it in some other areas if they want. If they don't want to, they can just reissue it on how they're abandoned. But it gives them a hand administratively to handle this process. I'd encourage you to vote for the amendment. Thank you.
Discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Driscoll's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 4. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is carried. Back on the file. The bill. Any further discussion? Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor, if these brands are really important, is it better if they have these things sent by certified mail so these people are sure that they get these communications? If it's not sent by that maybe they could lose them. Is there any advantage to that?
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. That is in the bill as it stands, and yes, it is important. A lot of times someone will have excess of $1 million livestock branded, and you can get a letter in the mail that gets thrown away or gets lost that actually can lose you that ownership, which has happened in the state of Wyoming. So, yeah, the certified is very important to be in there.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I wondered if the committee had any discussion on, so oftentimes if you change your address and it has not been sent forward, well, then you don't get the notice. And some people get a notice and lay it aside, and what I've found out, then they find out the date had expired and they're down, or contact their representative or their senator to help them out. I wondered if there's any discussion if the livestock board would have a rule where that in that region, if that brand inspector that usually work in that area would make an attempt to notify that person. Because it looked like to me in each area virtually this would take care of most of the problems. If they just call the brand inspector, chief brand inspector in Campbell County, said so-and-so haven't renewed his brand, could you call him, or do you know anything about it? If he went and checked, he'd find a lot of these people that have laid it aside, or their mail have changed, address has changed, and it looked like to me this would save some problems, and I wondered if this came up at all, if there was any discussion.
Thank you, Senator Hines. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, rising again. And this has been handled administratively. I'm one of the senators that got contact. We've been through that. They reacted in a very positive manner administratively. That list now goes out to courthouses, head brand inspector, all brand inspectors, all sale barns in Wyoming, plus the G4 barns in South Dakota. So that list is there. They're pretty disappointed. The latest renewal, there's 430-some, I believe she said, that have bad addresses at this point that they cannot find. And they've made a very honest effort at it. I'm pretty pleased with what they've done administratively to try to figure it out. It is tough. But we're helping them with this bill to do better, and they're trying very hard. They're very aware of the problems this time.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on House Bill 4. Further discussion. Seeing none, the question is that when the Committee of the Whole rises to, it's on Senator Geis's motion, that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 4. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 4 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration, the next bill, I'm still stuck on Senate, House Bill 12. The reading clerk will please read the file. House Bill number 12, Contagious and Infectious Diseases Among Livestock, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to contagious and infectious diseases among livestock. It was referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture, State Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senator Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Geis?
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, I move House Bill 12 do pass, and I'll yield the floor to Senator Emmerich to explain the bill.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a rather lengthy, page-worthy bill, but it does really, just as the title's up, or in the title says, revising provisions related to contagious and infectious diseases among livestock and other animals as specified. Page 2, as we go through this, cites new statutes. Page 3 starts defining terminology, changing epidemic to epizootic, because that one is a human term, one is an animal term. More consistent language, livestock to animals, once again, epidemic to epizootic. Move on to page, still on page 4, we talked about the board compensation, board of arbiters. Page 5, more up-to-date definitions of diseases causing biologics and or agents, instead of specifying blood and things, because there are new types of agents which were unheard of at the time these statutes were written, such as prions. Page 6, we come into definitions that are tied to 1129.10a.vi Romanet for a little more consistency, and these are relating to our Chapter 8 importation rules, and once again just defines things more clearly and more consistently. On page 7, it's been so long that we have not changed any of these rules that we're still talking about the Bureau of Animal Industry, which is now APHIS, Animal Plant and Health Inspection System. Let's see. On page 7, we go into the tuberculosis rules and go through and revise some words and delete many existing statutes which have no use in this day and age. On page 8, we go into more TB rules and records, retesting rules, and elimination of statutes. Page 9, we have the disposition of TB positive animals. We move into page 10, where we get prohibited acts and penalties and definitions that are being changed. Page 10, the old section 1119.203, and that's keeping up with word definition changes. We move into page 11 and 1119.401. These are the brucellosis rules, testing, tagging, branding, etc., things of that sort. Page 12 contains the brucellosis rules definitions, and then on 1119.402, we go to brucellosis rules. Page 13 is the exemption of rules, and I think that probably the most important part is we had a handout several days ago defining the statutes that are slated by removal by House Bill 12. Destruction of swine, exposed to hog cholera, or classical swine fever. That's a disease that's not even found in the United States anymore. Indemnities, cooperation with the United States. You can see here, gentlemen and ladies, I think there must be at least 15 or 18 statutes which have been removed. The entire sections have been cleaned up, made more accountable, more readable, and more up to date for literally the 21st century. There are no amendments, and I ask for your approval.
Discussion on House Bill 12. Any discussion? Any questions? All right. The question is on Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 12. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 12 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next House bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will please read the file.
House Bill number 17, School Capital Construction Enrollment Methodology, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school capital construction. It was referred to Committee number 4, Education, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, move in committee the whole rising report do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 17. This bill, members of the Senate, is brought to you by the Select Committee on School Facilities, and it comes about from a lot of interim discussion on how we plan for the future when it comes to building schools. Now, remember that we so far built about $1.2 billion in schools out there. And in some instances, we haven't planned very well. And I can tell you that in my good friend from Bighorn County's district, actually in the same community where he lives, we built a new elementary school that's already over capacity. We have a new elementary school in my community, about 2-3 years old, over capacity. So what this does, and it was really stimulated by the discussion of spending about $225 million up in my good friend from the central part of the state's community that's coming up in projects, how we're going to project enrollment methodology. We had talked about 3 years. We actually, as you'll see in this bill, we now, when it comes to building schools, are going to try to project enrollment methodology out 5 years. And a classic example, if you remember, I handed out earlier in the session the new ADM numbers for the districts around the state as of October 1st. And Natrona 1 was up 670 kids. So when we build these new schools, we need to really figure out how we're going to build them so that when we build them, we don't have to come in and add on to them. So if you go to page 3 of the bill, you'll see that's where it all happens right there. It says the student enrollment projections for a period of 5 years commencing on the date as determined by the commission of anticipated completion of project construction. You'll see that same language over on page 4 in which the building is to be located. So 5-year projections on enrollment methodology to try to build schools that will, you know, serve the needs of the community. We take the community's interest into consideration in this project, and that's what the bill does, and I stand for questions.
Discussion on House Bill 17. Any discussion? Senator Meyer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Looking at the language there that you struck on line 7, page 3, it says, now it says not less than 5 years. So now we're just saying just 5 years period. We can't look at any other time period there. And I was kind of looking at the school enrollment, where if you look at about the first 5 grades, they're up substantially, somewhere around 1,000 more or less. But anything after the 5th or 6th grade, they're fairly flat. So we're not really being able to project those rolling ahead figures into maybe building middle schools. If we limit it to just looking at that snapshot of 5 years and don't look at the whole K through 12 period. So I'm just wondering about how that would implement in rolling out those projections of the first 5 years that are up about 1,000 into middle school and high school projections. And it just seems like you'd have to have a longer period in certain circumstances based on whether you're looking at middle schools or high schools.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Anybody else? Senator Rothfuss. Let's go to Senator Hines then. I can see lots of finger pointing down there.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I had a question on just the understanding. Take, for example, the southern half of my new Senate district and the one just south of that, where they're having a big mineral boom all of a sudden here within the last year. And how is that going to, will that change any for the projections if that continues with that boom and their population increases real fast? Does this bill then address that and give that community some relief?
Thank you, Senator Hines. All right. Now your turn, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try and address those. And the difficulty with any future model is it's never going to be perfect. So no is the easy answer to your questions. It's not going to perfectly handle those types of situations. But it's a step in that direction, and it's certainly better than the system we have right now at trying to address exactly those types of things without having the risk, hopefully, of giant overcommitments and overbuilding for possible situations that might not occur. What this is doing is it's 5 years projected out from the completion date of the school. For elementary schools and for middle schools, that will generally suffice. The biggest risk is when you're building a high school and you have a large potential for future capacity and you don't want to build another high school in a short period of time. To the good senator from Goshen County, that's a real concern where we have large populations in the low grades, and there's what's called a cohort survival model where you follow them through all 12 grades and you can do a good job of estimating what that population is going to be. For the school that we're looking at for our high school, we did that, and that was one of the things that we brought up. And we actually, there's some language in here that allows a special exemption or some discussion on that if you can show that there's a possibility for that coming through. But again, it's a board decision. So it's not going to be something that you can gain a lot of ground on, but it is a consideration that can go towards the decision for the population on a school. Again, probably only for a high school. For a smaller school, you would just have to request additional capacity and build another one. So not a perfect model, but it steps in the right direction. To the senator from Campbell County, when you have a boom situation that's moving very quickly, that is going to be a difficulty and a disturbance. The projection can still be occurred, and you have to make that projection estimate based on a bad data set. And sometimes that will skew it, and you'll end up with maybe we have a giant capacity in the future based on it, but it still will go to that cohort survival and trying to figure out what's likely and also looking at potentially the history of the boom and bust. But it's a craps game a lot of the time, and you don't know what you're going to get. This certainly tries to err on the side of having enough space for students so that we don't quickly go over capacity. We heard in school facilities stories about completing an elementary school and having, upon day one of that elementary school opening, over capacity, needing to build another school. This remedies that, but it doesn't necessarily solve all the problems. We had discussions about more sophisticated models, but realistically, a model is just that, particularly when you're projecting out into the future. We know how things cycle in the state of Wyoming, and we understand that you can't end up with an accurate answer very far out. So perhaps we should go 10 years out, but that just increases the likelihood that we overbuild. This was a compromise that we came up with in the committee. We'd ask the body to support it. We recognize that it's not perfect, but it certainly is a step in the right direction.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My fellow committee member did a good job of explaining, and I'll just add a couple of things. This is a conversation that we did have in committee, and two things regarding this new language. One is we're going to start at the date that we think that project is going to be completed. We're going to push out 5 years from then. Prior to this, chances are we were beginning projections before we were even online with the building, and you know how that list has jumped on and off with various projects. So we wanted to start at the end of that, or as soon as that school was built. And then if you look at the language, historical, economic, social, and other data that is impacting the community, the good senator from Gillette, we're hoping that that's going to allow our commission to bring in those factors. And so I hope that helps, and again, we hope you'll support it. We think it's a better model.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, of course, it was mentioned that one of these schools was in my particular community, and the frustration level was that it was pleaded from the get-go in the planning stages that the square footage was somewhat limiting, and of course, the doubt of the forecast and things played into that building. But this is a good bill. It's needed. We're learning as we go. We understand that. But it provides a remedy for the school that we are now going to construct. But what about the remedy of a school that was just constructed 2 years ago or 3 years ago that now has a capacity issue? I hope the committee, and I'm sure it was discussed, and I'd like to know what remedy it is provided for these schools that are brand new that have to go back and say, we've got a problem. The discussion of the land acquisition, is it large enough to add on the design of the building? Is it designed in a way that we can add on? Those type of remedies, I hope, were discussed, and maybe some more discussion along those lines is needed.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Who'd like to take that? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things we did discuss a lot was this concept of adding on, and while this isn't necessarily going to fix what you're discussing, because it wasn't wasn't really something that was addressed at that point. There's a desire as we're building elementary schools and middle schools and even high schools to give some thought into building with the concept of being able to add on to those buildings in the future. So having the initial architecture structured in such a manner that, for example, it could be a three-wing building but with a clear design for a fourth wing and common spaces that would easily be blown out to accommodate for that. There's a heavy emphasis on that, and that's something the School Facilities Department is trying to get people to focus on for exactly that reason, recognizing the troubles that we had in the past. Additional land acquisition, we've created some flexibility within the department for land acquisition and for planning of land acquisition so that you don't have to say, we want that piece of land for a school, and then you watch the value of the land skyrocket. By providing some flexibility, school districts are able to acquire when they don't necessarily have to buy right away. Saves millions of dollars, and that was something else you provided flexibility to. The difficulty in your situation is obviously the lesson learned that led us to this bill and a lot of the other considerations. But what it comes down to, I think, for your district is that we're going to put more of an emphasis now, as we've gotten done with our condition score schools, on really addressing the capacity situation as we move forward. So I'm hopeful that we can find some, you know, solutions and get that fixed for you as we recognize. And your school district should have come back to us with their square footage and their overcapacity for consideration. That's something that we've definitely been working on and will work on hard over this next interim. So hopefully we'll have that addressed better.
Thank you, Senator, for that discussion on piling on schools. Senator Peterson, you want to return to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, when I speak about the footprint of the land, possibly not so much a new school or an additional school, but to ensure that the acreage is sufficient to produce maybe a future add-on to that existing school, and maybe that needs to be looked at. This particular school that's in my community is designed in a way that it could be easily added on to. So the remedy is easy. It's just going through the process and maybe being somewhat punished in the fact that it's a brand new school and we don't want to revisit that for some time now. So the remedy there needs to be discussed and provided as well.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm just looking at the original language, and I think the commission has the flexibility to do exactly what's suggested in the bill. It says using commission-approved measures and techniques, including a description of the methods used in making projections. And looking at this, I think when you take not less than, I do believe that further restricts the commission to really looking at only at about maybe a 7 or at the outside, maybe an 8-year period. 5 years commencing on the date determined the commission anticipated completion of the project. So you start the project and you look 5 years out. Yeah, I think you could actually have overbuilding in this scenario where you have a bubble moving through of a boom. And that's the only thing you can look at. And you can't necessarily look back and see that younger grades might be dropping off. I think when you take away the flexibility of the commission, maybe structure this as a preferred alternative as this and still try to keep the flexibility in there. Because it just seems like we're being very prescriptive, and conditions may change, and this prescription may not fit every scenario that you could look at as far as all the different communities in the state. So maybe some discussion about why this is going to fit every community in the state.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Anybody else? Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good discussion, and it's not that we have the bulletproof remedy here, but we know that there's been some problems caused with new construction out there. And we wish we would have done it better, but we didn't. And to address the good senator from Goshen County's concerns, I think, you know, if you go down to the new language in the bottom of paragraph 4, and I think that the good senator from Albany County alluded to it, this isn't something that's cast in stone. It says the commission may adjust projections computed under this paragraph as necessary to reflect more precise analysis and evaluation of historical, economic, social, and other data impacting the community in which the building is or is to be located. Now, if you go to the old language, if you go back to 2115.116, paragraph A, and go to the old language, we talk about the facility plan shall include a response to each building and facility need identified on a building-by-building, space-by-space basis. Space-by-space basis, one of the key criteria when they develop a list of needs, of specific needs, is capacity. So I don't know if that answers your question. This is not a silver bullet to everything, but it's a start in what we thought was the right direction.
Thank you, Senator Coe. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, one other question. I was wondering if you know whether the building or the facility commission ever considers modular units. You know, while a lot of people frown on modular units, to me they're something that take care of immediate problems much faster than planning and building a building. And I came from a community that had used modular units for 20 or 25 years, and it's not the unit, it's what's inside the unit that's good for education.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Senator Raffas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two points I want to address. One is the five-year date certain after completion, as opposed to just saying more than five. That came from the difficulty where the school facilities department and the commission wanted to use 5 years. The districts wanted to use 15, and there was a fight each and every time. One wanted to project out way out and show incredible growth figures. We're going to be the largest population you can ever imagine, whereas the facilities department and commission wanted to be as conservative as possible. That was a fight each and every time, so we set a baseline. That baseline was 5 years after projected completion of the project is what needs to be the starting point for all the discussions, so that there would be a common ground in the beginning. From there, you can make your arguments, but we wanted to make sure that we had both sides, so to speak, starting at the same place and then arguing from a common point where obviously we had a lot of discussion and difficulties before that. So that's why that was picked. It's not to say five is the best magic number in the world, but having that reference point is going to diminish a lot of the discussions or arguments that we had in the past. So that's the reason for that. I certainly understand that looking at a lot of different numbers can give you different things, but again, that goes to that next paragraph, which says we can do that. And as I pointed out in my earlier discussion, that's even been done in my district, where there was a particular bubble moving through that made a big difference, and the commission made a special exception based on that language in that situation of like 20 people or something like that. To the good senator from Campbell County's question related to modulars, the school facilities department is not a fan of modular units, but they're certainly allowed, and they do provide interim solutions. But they don't like to plan with those as a basis or an acceptable space. It's always an interim space while planning to have a permanent space in place from an equity standpoint. So it certainly is an acceptable short-term outcome, I think, in their strategy, but not considered to be a long-term solution.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on House Bill 17. Further discussion? Seeing none. The question is on Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 17. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 17 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will please read the file.
House Bill number 38, Use of Water Outside the State, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to water. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, who reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson. Senator Geis, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Geis?
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rises and report, I move House Bill 38 do pass, and I'll yield the floor to Senator Hicks to explain the bill.
Thank you, Senator Geis. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this deals with 413.115. This is commonly known as the export statute for water. Basically, this brings in some new language that wasn't anticipated when this was first passed. And a little bit of history. The export statute was passed in the 1970s. At that point in time, the state of Wyoming was looking at a potential coal slurry pipeline. They use a significant amount of water to carry the coal out of state. And what the export statute did when they passed that in the early 1970s basically said that if you're going to transport an excess of 1,000 acre-feet of water outside of the state of Wyoming's boundary, that it had to have legislative authority to do that. Under the current law, you can divert less than 1,000 acre-feet. That's the exemption under the export statute. Small amounts of water can currently be moved outside of the state of water that under that 1,000 acre-feet threshold. Anything that goes over there requires legislative authorization. If we go to the bill, what it basically does is try to deal with a situation that's emerging now that hadn't potentially emerged in the past. And what it basically allows the state engineer's office to do is aggregate more than one source of supply to get that up to the 1,000 acre feet. And let me give you an example. Right now, under current statute, somebody could come in and do a permit application or a temporary change of use application and do five or six of these for, say, 500 acre feet apiece. If you had five of those, that would be a cumulative aggregate of 2,500 acre feet. Right now, each one of those applications is considered separately under the export statute, so there's nothing the state engineer's office could do. Basically, this says if it's the same source of supply, if it's the same groundwater aquifer, if it's out of the same drainage, the same creek, the state engineer's office could take a look at those applications or current appropriations as they may be and say, look, if it's all going to the same project, just because you've got five or six different point sources where you're removing this, for the purposes of Wyoming water law, he could promulgate rules and say we're going to consider that as one purpose, which would allow him then to roll in the export statute. So for those permits to go forward, they would have to come before this legislative body for approval. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for any questions on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at page 2, line 15, it says, for the same or similar use held by the applicant or any person or entity associated with the applicant. So I'm just looking at this thinking that you could have 1,000 or 999 acre-feet for irrigation, you could have 999 acre-feet for municipalities, you could have 999 acre-feet for industrial, and so almost 3,000 acre-feet from the same source of supply, and the state engineer would still not be able to do anything with that because it's not the same appropriated use. I guess, first of all, I think that's correct the way it's reading. And then just looking at there's no discussion here as far as the same source of supply as to whether or not the original appropriation was for irrigation as to whether it could be used for any other particular use. I guess you could do a temporary two-year permit for anything you wanted, whether you started with industrial or irrigation or municipalities. So I guess let me know if my thoughts are right on that.
Senator Meyer, thank you. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, under the old language, that's correct. If you had several different permits and it was an aggregate of less than 1,000 acre foot, that's exempt from the export statutes. That's currently law. That's been in place since this was passed in the 1970s. And the other thing, the good senator from Goshen County is correct, is these could be for existing appropriations. When you go with the new language and you go to page 2 and you look at line 7, it says, or line 8, it says applications or appropriations. Those are existing water rights that exist today. And under the temporary change of use statute that we currently have, you could move those off of the ground, and as long as it stayed underneath 1,000 acre feet for any one source, under this new language, you could do that. If you had multiple water rights appropriations and you did three or four temporary changes of use, and even over a period of time, if it was going to the same industrial use or the same municipal use, then under the new rules, the state engineer could recapture those, and that would have to come back to the legislative body. So if you did an aggregate of five or six temporary changes of use from agriculture to industrial use, and it exceeded 1,000 acre feet, under this new language, the state engineer could recapture those, make a determination that that was a single source of supply. That would have to come back to this legislative body to approve that. I hope that addresses the good senator's question.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. Any further discussion on House Bill 38? Any further discussion? Hearing none. The question is on Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 38. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 38 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise to report.
You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All those in favor? Opposed, no. The motion is passed.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 4, do pass amended. House Bill 12, do pass. House Bill 17, do pass. House Bill 38, do pass. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Or, Mr. President, I would move for adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's been adopted, and the Committee of the Whole report is therefore adopted. We have reports from Standing Committee.
February the 5th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 195, engrossed, rail tax exemption, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Senators Emmerich and Peterson, no, Senators Case and Von Flatern, Senator Peterson, Chairman. February the 5th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 170, Streamlined Sales Tax Direct Mail, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Senators Emmerich, Peterson, and Von Flatern, no, Senator Case, Senator Peterson, Chairman. February the 5th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 188, Investment of Public Funds Interest-Bearing Deposits. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Senators Case, Emmerich, Peterson, Von Flatern, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Signing of enrolled acts. We will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act, House of Representatives, Enrolled Act Number 1, being original House Bill 223.
House Enrolled Act Number 1, being original House Bill 223. I'm about to sign.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 1, the original House Bill 223. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until tomorrow at 10 a.m., which is Wednesday, January 6th.
February.
We'll get a lot of work done if we roll back the clock. February 6th.
Announcements, huh? You did that, didn't you?
It's not my fault.
Senate announcements. There, guys.
Mr. Chairman,
your
Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes up in S-15. We'll take up House Bill 13, Engrossed Livestock Revisions, House Bill 25, Simulcasting of Paramutual Events, House Bill Engrossed 108, Food Freedom Action. We'll take discussion tonight. But we will not take final action until Senator Johnson is back. House Bill 155 engrossed, burn orders violation restrictions. House Bill 156 engrossed, movement of livestock in emergency situations.
Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will have a joint Appropriations Committee gathering in 204, and we'll be waiting for the House to adjourn. So on the House adjournment, so members of the Senate Appropriations Committee, please stick around, and we'll keep an eye on the House. We'll go down there. We're going to discuss the State Superintendent's proposed budget for us to look at and listen to. This is a gathering. We cannot take any action as a joint committee, so I want the body or the members to be sure and understand that. Mr. Chairman, your Appropriations Committee Number 2 will also meet tomorrow at noon, Wednesday, February 6th at 12:30 in Room S-13 to consider the following House bills. House Bill 249, Budget Reduction Implementation. House Bill 248, State Building Commission Staffing. House Bill 250, Public Employee Retirement Plans. And if time allows, and we're waiting for our Senator colleague from Natrona County, House Bill 255, Year-Round School Calendar Incentive.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the regular committee room. We will finish our work on House Bill 68, Gross Life Resource Center, and we will hear House Bill 203, Health Benefit Exchange Study and Select Committee.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, S-11 by the Smoking Lounge, to take up only House Bill 172, School Districts Leasing of Capital Assets. This is a carryover from Wednesday, January 30th.
Senator Ron Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment, Room S-14, to discuss House Bill 127, Engrossed Driver's License Veterans Designation, House Bill 150, Bonds for Certificates of Title, House Bill 152, Engrossed Vehicle Accident Reporting, and House Bill 158, Engrossed Vehicle Registration Timing.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, 15 minutes after the noon recess, in room S18, our regular room, to take up House Bill 65, engross municipal solid waste landfill we'll take up that bill anyway. And also House Bill 66, engross municipal solid waste facility.
Senator Siver.
Mr. President, your Judiciary Committee number one will meet Wednesday, February 6th at 8 a.m. in S1. We'll continue our discussion on House Bill 21, engrossed peace officer immunity. We'll take up House Bill 40, eminent domain wind energy collector systems, and House Bill 216, engrossed deadly weapons in a courtroom. And if time permits, and it probably will, we'll take up House Bill 8, engrossed child abuse reporting requirements.
Further announcements. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. The Senate stands adjourned until 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 6th.